Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast. I want to thank you for joining us here at Christian Heritage Church. And wherever you are watching or listening to this message, we are thrilled that you have joined us today. This morning, I'm going to be ministering to you from a passage of Scripture, actually an entire chapter. It's a short chapter found in the fifth chapter of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want to just read the entirety of this chapter before we get started in the message today. Beginning with verse 1 of 1 Peter 5, it says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and be that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, stalks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you, all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Today I want to minister to you a message that's titled Spiritual Stability. Spiritual Stability. At the time when Peter wrote this particular letter, it was a time of heavy persecution among the Christians of that day and time. Heavy persecution. And he was wanting to let the Christians know and to encourage them to stand firm, to be strong. He wanted them to be steadfast. He didn't want them to be tossed to and fro. He didn't want them to be pushed aside and discouraged and have a sense of desiring to give up. He wanted them to make sure they were staying firm in their faith That was what he was wanting to do. And we notice particularly verse 9, he uses those words where he tells them that to make sure that they don't get caught up in all of it. And then verse 9, resist him. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. Verse 10, he tells them to, he speaks of them being perfect, established, strengthened, and be settled. That word perfect there speaks to maturity. Be mature in their faith. Verse 12, again, we see him saying in the last word, to stand, to stand. And that's what the Word of God, and that's what God would have us to do in this hour in which we live, and at this time in which we live. He wants us as the people of God to be mature in our faith. He wants us to be stable. He wants us to be stable. Now, to be honest, a lot of times we may feel like Reuben of the Old Testament. Reuben was the brother of Joseph. We see the story of Joseph in Genesis 37 through 50. And Reuben, the name Reuben means to be unstable. Unstable as water. So when the heat is on, you might boil over. Unstable as water. Water will, when it gets hot, it will boil over. When it reaches that boiling point, and it can boil over, or it can reach in a difficult time, perhaps it reaches the freezing point and just freezes. And so many times in life, we can, if we're not careful, we'll be unstable as water, boiling over at one time, freezing up, and being just almost like paralyzed at another time. But God is wanting you and I to have stability in our spiritual lives. Too often we get caught up with really seeing faith too much in regards to our emotions. Because when we do that, and when we mistake emotions for faith, it can be very dangerous for us. Because then we are up one moment, down the other, and sometimes we'll even get the feeling like that perhaps during a time when we don't feel anything spiritually, that somehow God has abandoned us, God has left us. And so what we need to keep in mind, though, and I'm thankful for emotions. We are created. We're an emotional people. I raise my voice. I get excited when I come to the Word. That's a part of our emotions. But emotions have nothing to do really with my spirituality, because I can feel good or I can feel bad at another moment. And when it comes to our faith, when it comes to a relationship with God, we don't need to be to judge that based on how we feel. Because if we do that, we will be unstable. We'll become unstable. And that's not a healthy way for us to live out our spiritual lives. That's not what God desires for us. Really, in this passage that we're reading today, in chapter 5 here of 1 Peter, here we find some enemies of spiritual stability that I want to address today. Enemies to spiritual stability. And I want to just begin back with verse 1 and refer there. He goes to the elders who are among you, I exhort. He talks about fellow elders. He really talks about the overseers of the church in verse 2, and really progresses on to the body of Christ. So he goes from the leadership, the elders in that sense, the overseers of the church, the pastors of the church, and then he addresses the entire body of Christ. So you may say, well, I'm not an elder. What does this have to do with me? No, what I'll say to us, as believers, all of us are to be leaders, because leaders, the very definition of leadership is influence. It speaks to the influence of our life in leading others. And God would have every single believer to be a leader in that sense, that we're to influence people and to be influencers for Jesus Christ as believers. Everybody influences someone either positively or negatively. And God wants certainly us as believers to be having a great impact, a positive impact upon those that are around us. And so we see here, as in this passage, how he's directing this and how important our lives are. And I believe what we start finding here in this passage, as we begin to read here, we find the first enemy, because what happens, he begins to talk about how that we are to be, to have humility. I want you to see this. Verse 5, at the end of it, it says, be clothed with humility. And then it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves. And so the first enemy I want to mention here is pride, because the very opposite of humility is pride. And we've got to be very careful lest pride rob us of a stable Christian walk. Now, I want to go back and point out a few things here. He says in verse 2 concerning, he said, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. And what I, again, want us to understand, this is applicable to all of us, even if we don't serve just in a position of oversight, in that, in the sense of a pastor, a teacher, like that. But we're all, again, we're to be influencers, to be leaders in the kingdom. And here he's saying to us, don't serve by compulsion, but willingly. Don't serve out of feeling like you're being forced to do so, but willingly. Don't serve in a manner, in an attitude where, well, I just have to do this. I guess I just got to do this. Because in a weird sort of way, this really is prideful. It can be prideful. It's in a reverse kind of sense, because we are to desire to serve. Servants serve. And we have all been called to be servants of the Most High God. We can go back to the commands of Scripture and the teachings and of the Ten Commandments, and when it rolls out again in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when they're talking about those commandments and really just begin to explain the commandments. It talks about worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall we serve. You see, it's really impossible to be in relationship with God and to be a worshiper of God and have a relationship with God without being a servant of God. We should be people that should realize the privilege of serving and desire to serve in whatever that is, that God would have us to serve. But again, we're not to take the position where I'm just doing this because I'm pressured to do it. He don't want us to do it from that standpoint. We should desire to serve him, not because someone has pressured us into it. And so may I encourage you today, serve willingly, not out of pressure. But at the same time, we are called to serve. It's not one of those things where, well, I'll leave the serving to somebody else. In the body of Christ and as believers, as followers of God, he desires that we serve. And servants are to be humble. They're to be humble. Because we can take on, it can be a pride issue. Well, I've got to do this. Well, I just want you to know that God wants us to serve willingly, and he can get somebody else. He can get somebody else. If I'm not willing to serve as pastor and do what he's called me to do, he will get somebody else. But because it's his church, this is his body, and he wants us to humble ourselves before him, and he don't want pride to be that is leading our lives. Notice a little more. He says, don't do it not for dishonest gain, or it's translated don't be greedy for gain. It could be greedy for money. Don't serve greedy for money. That is pride. Don't do it. That's a sin of pride in there. Don't do it. Don't be greedy for control. Don't be greedy for position within the body of Christ. Don't be greedy for power. Don't be greedy for attention. Don't address it that way. Again, in the following verses, he's telling us to humble ourselves. To humble ourselves. We'll go on down, verse 3. He said, not as being lords over those entrusted to us. So those that we would be leading, those that we are serving in the body of Christ, we are not to then lord it over them in arrogance. That should not be named among us. But to be examples for the flock. Serving in a way that sets a good example in attitude and life. Be an example. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. He goes on talking about humility and defeating that enemy of pride, I believe, when he says in the last, the middle part of this verse, he says, be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. We might wonder, why a garment? Why a garment mentioned here, being clothed with humility? And one of the thoughts that comes to mind is a garment is something that certainly can be seen. And when there's a garment of pride, obviously it can be seen. But it can also be noted and seen when there's an attitude of humility. The difference is the attitude of humility is not desiring to do it just to be seen. The approach there is not for that purpose. But both, whether it's pride or humility, and we're clothed with it, it's something that can be seen, but for entire different motives in mind. But no matter what, may we all in this room be encouraged to defeat the enemy of pride in our life, to be clothed with humility, to be servants of God. We can see Jesus with his disciples when on occasion he put, in a very real sense, he was clothed with humility. He put on a towel and he wrapped a towel around his waist. He washed the feet of the disciples, setting forth the ultimate example of servitude as a humble servant, willing to do the most menial of tasks in that day in washing their feet when they were walking around barefooted and with sandals, walking on the same streets as the animals did in that time in the dirt and dust of society. Their feet were filthy, I'm sure, but our Lord humbled himself He humbled himself and served those disciples. What an incredible example he was and is, and how he wants us to live and not be eat up with the enemy of pride. There's a second enemy that I note here. Look at verse 7. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I'm going to call this the enemy of doubt. The enemy of doubt. When we see the word care here in the New King James Version, it can be translated also anxiety. And so care or anxiety, casting all your anxieties upon him, casting all your cares upon him. And we can so easily, when the cares and anxieties of this world begin to really really have a formidable place in our mind and heart, it can cause us to doubt. It can bring doubt in. When I want to think about the word anxiety, and it speaks to having a divided mind. And Jesus said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In all of his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. It reminds me again to Reuben, unstable as water. Unstable in all his ways. So we've got to be careful that we cast our cares upon the Lord, for he cares for us. We don't want to be unstable in our ways. And it's really in the most difficult times of life where our faith needs to stand the strongest. And so it's when the cares of this life, those difficult times, those difficult seasons, even as the one that we're in here in our world today, the cares of this life, the difficulties of this life, we need our faith to be firm. We need to have a stability in our spiritual walk. We need to have stability in our faith. We need to stand firm. But when the cares come and bring doubt and disillusionment and anxieties are there, and the temptation is to become, to before we know it, to be unstable and divided in our minds. But it's at that time that we need to be standing strong in our faith. I think about Psalm 23, the shepherd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's describing a very difficult season, a difficult moment. But he said, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The psalmist is describing that he's going through something. But it's the rod and staff of the Lord that's going to comfort him. The great shepherd of our souls is going to protect us. He's going to comfort us. And he said, and thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. See, it's in those times when we need faith, in those moments to stand strong. But it's also the time when the temptation is to be filled with care and anxiety and have a double mind. But God, help us to stand strong in those moments. I think about Joseph, again, of the Old Testament, and his story, him caught in he was a dreamer. I mean, God give him dreams. God give him a vision of things to come. And he would share those things. And he was the youngest brother at that time. And his older brothers, they did not like his dreams and how, because his dreams would tell of a day when he would be ruling over the whole family. And they did not like it. And it was more than just not like. they desired to kill him. They ended up not killing him. They ended up selling him to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites ended up taking Joseph and auctioning him off on the slave blocks. And Potiphar, who was a ruler of in that time and in the land of Egypt, he basically bought Joseph as a slave, and he served in his palace, his house, and he Joseph ended up rising to prominence in that house as a worker in that house, to the point that Potiphar trusted him with everything in the house. But it was there that Joseph again mistreated, as Potiphar's wife sought to seduce him. And when Joseph would not give in to what he was into this attempt to seduce him, she cried out rape. She cried out that he had violated her, and he ended up being thrown into prison, though Joseph had done nothing. His brothers had thrown him into a pit. Now somebody else has thrown him into a prison. And then we begin to see his life unfold in prison, and how that he would again interpret dreams, ended up getting the opportunity to interpret the king's dream, because the king had a dream and nobody could interpret it, but he heard that there was a about this Joseph who was in prison that could interpret dreams. It ended up Joseph interpreted the king's dream, and God caused the heart of the king to move. And at that time, when he interpreted the dream, he took him out of prison, knowing that this dream had to be from God in some way, and he made him ruler over all of Egypt. And then we find that Joseph, his dream that he had as a boy had come to pass, and he did end up in a role above his family in an hour of their greatest need. And we see a story from tragedy to triumph. And we see Joseph, who in the midst of the bars of a prison, in the midst of being falsely accused, he kept his eyes upon God. He held to his faith. He was able somehow, some way, to stand firm, to stay steadfast in his faith, even though he was being mistreated. And so, though in the cares of this world, in the disillusionment and doubts of this world, may God help us to stand firm in our faith. But the enemy of doubt will try to get us to just kind of throw in the towel in the midst of the difficult and adverse days. But God help us. So we see the enemy of pride and the enemy of doubt. And I want you to look at verse 8 and 9. It said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Verse 9, "Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Here I want you to see the enemy of carelessness. And I just want to emphasize, yes, there is a devil, a real devil. The Bible speaks of the devil and the reality of him. It's not just some mystic evil. There's a literal devil that seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. There's a devil who is our enemy in this world, who would like to bring us down. He'd like to destroy us and kill us. And I want to tell you, it says here that he seeks whom he may devour. And I want to tell you, the greatest tragedy we ever see in life is when we see somebody who's been devoured by the enemy, the devil. It's terrible to think about. And we see this kind of things, but so much of it is because of an enemy of carelessness. I'm reminded of how there were watchmen in the Old Testament, and prophets often spoke of themselves as watchmen. They were literal watchmen that would watch out for the enemy in the cities of that day. And they would get on the walled cities, and watchmen would look for enemies of their nation or their city or their group and their tribe. And they would be watchmen for the enemy to come against them to make sure they weren't caught off guard. And the prophets of God's prophets would speak of themselves as being watchmen on a wall. And they were trying not to be careless. They were trying to be careful concerning the enemy. And I would say to all of us, when thinking about our spiritual stability, we need to make sure that we don't succumb to the enemy of carelessness. Because there is an enemy that desires to destroy each and every one of us. So we've got to be careful that carelessness does not have its way in us. I was thinking about David in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1. The scripture says that when the kings would go out to war in that season, in that time, that David stayed in the palace. Now, I want you to hear this. He was a king, King David. This is one that we know that he had a heart after God. But I want to tell you, there was a day and time when destruction came his way and the enemy sought to absolutely destroy him. And David got caught up in a world of adultery and murder. But it was because David should have been out where when the kings would go out to war, David was relaxing in the palace, and it was there that he succumbed to the temptation of Bathsheba, who was not his wife, and then succumbed to a temptation to have Uriah, her husband, killed and put on the front lines of battle. So really, he, in essence, murdered him. Listen, all because he was careless. The enemy of carelessness had come into his life. He wasn't careful concerning his life. And may we be careful not to get caught in the entrapment of the enemy. May God help us. It says here, we're to resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by our brotherhood in the world. And as I read that verse and talk about how that we've got brothers in the world, Christians all over the world who experience suffering. And that's the other enemy I want to talk about, and that's the enemy of discouragement. Listen, I don't know of anything that is more discouraging and can be more discouraging than suffering. They're specifically dealing with persecution as Peter is addressing the church during this season, this time when this was written. But may we understand that God doesn't want us to be entrapped by discouragement. I'm reminded again by David when he was at a time of battle at Ziklag, when they had went out to battle the enemy, then left in the encampment in Ziklag. Their families stayed there. The wives and children and all their possessions were there in the encampment at Ziklag. But while they were going off to war, the enemy came and stole their possessions and family and burned it up. They returned. The armies, along with David, returned to Ziklag to find that everything had been destroyed and stolen away. And then all of a sudden, his own soldiers began to turn away from David and to turn on David to the point that they were desiring to stone him to death because he had led them away into a war, and they weren't there to protect their families. And the Bible says of David that he encouraged himself in the Lord. I found myself there late, just here lately, where I just had to encourage myself in the Lord. And He wants you to be encouraged, not discouraged. He wants you to be encouraged today. He wants you to be strengthened today and not get caught in the enemy's trap. Not get caught in the enemy's trap. James chapter 1 verses 2 and 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." God desires that you and I, even in the midst of difficult times, He wants us to grow and mature and be stable despite what we are faced with. Be stable in our faith. But it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen by accident. According to Joshua chapter 3 verse 8, it said that we were to stand fast in the Lord our God. Stand fast in Him. Matthew 24, 13, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." The same shall be saved. See, endurance produces maturity. And so we've got to endure instead of getting caught up with discouragement. Endure. Keep pressing on. Stand firm in your faith. And lastly, I want you to just see here the fifth enemy of stability I want to mention is isolation. Verse 12, "By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand." He mentions Silvanus, then he mentions she, a woman who is in Babylon, elect together with you. He talks about this elect woman here. He talks about Mark, his son, in verse 13. But in verse 12, he says, "By Silvanus," or "with Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I've written to you briefly." What I'm telling you is, Paul understood that an enemy is isolation. And he had people around him, and this is not the only place. But I see again and again where the Apostle Paul would have somebody near unto him. And I want to tell you, I think during this season of time that we're in this pandemic, where it is said that 60% of the churches have not come back by this time. This is July 2020. For someone listening to this years from now, perhaps, about 60% of churches in America have not gone back to meeting in person. Of the churches that have gone back to meeting in person, the percentage is around 40% of the people have returned. And so a great concern that I have is people that are in isolation, that are not with other believers. They're not connecting, perhaps online. They're not meeting anywhere with a small group. They're perhaps, the enemy has isolated them into a place where they are susceptible to the enemy attacks. I want to encourage you today, wherever you are, you may be in a place because of the vulnerability of your health, you've not been able to get together with anybody. I want to encourage you to press into the Word, but I want to encourage you to get on the phone. I want to encourage you to get connected in every way possible. to be sharing. I want to let you know that you got to come together with a few people for Bible study in a life group or a relationship where you can mature in your faith or go to a Bible study somewhere. Connect with us here at the church in some way. Don't allow yourself to get isolated. I want to pray for you today. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to first of all tell you, He loves you. He loves you. He wants you to believe upon Him. It is His grace that has been extended to you, and He wants you to believe upon Him, have faith in Him. And as believers today, I want to tell you, His desire is for you to be stable in your faith and to continually mature. But He wants you to have stability. So, Father, we just commit these things to You, asking You to move by Your Spirit. And for that one that needs to pray, God, even now, saying, Lord, I believe. I repent of my sins and I believe in You, and I want You to be my Lord and Savior. May they do that even now. And Lord, for others that are battling with the enemies within, I pray in the name of Jesus that they would understand that they can be strong and stable and steadfast, because Your word declares that can be a reality for us, and we can guard ourselves against the enemy attack. And we'll glorify You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.